brethren, let's lift up our voices and begin to cry unto the Lord this evening. We have come again to his presence, to sit at his feet, to learn of him. No man knows the heart of the Father except the Holy Spirit will reveal it to him or her. This evening we have come that he will teach us. Let's pray that as we sit at his feet, that he will teach us. That he will teach us. That he will teach us by himself. We want to know his word. We want to know the secret things about him. We want to know how to go about this journey so that we will not walk in error, so that we will not make mistakes, so that we will not walk in darkness. If we do not know the way, how can we go rightly? How can we succeed if we not know the right way to go? Everything that we need is in the word of God. But because we don't know it, we suffer. We suffer because we do not know the word of God. And for those of us that even know the word of God, are we practicing it? Are we living by the word? This evening, let's ask the Lord God Almighty that the Holy Spirit in his infinite mercy and his grace will come and quicken us to hear his word. And not only being hearers, but doers of his word. Let's ask the Lord God Almighty to come and teach us from his storehouse those secret things that we ought to know that we don't know, that we have not known. That the Holy Spirit will come and open them up to us. To come and explain them and expand the word of God the way it is. You know, standing here, I have no word of my own. I want to be taught because I'm also asking myself a question. Let the Lord come and answer all the questions that we are asking and bring solutions to our problems in the name of Jesus, so that the devil will not take advantage of our ignorance and begin to kick us around like big bumbles. Everything that is for us to succeed in this race, God has put them for us. He has prepared them already. May the Lord help us to understand his word this night, so that we begin to take what is ours, so that we begin to walk in the right way in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you. We bless and exalt you this evening. Oh, Father, come and take over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please, I want you to help me to sing this song. Take the stage, Lord, and have your way. I'm just a vessel and nothing more. When you're done, please take the glory and be satisfied just to see you glorified. Take the stage, Lord, take the stage, Lord, and have your way. Lord, I'm just a vessel, empty vessel, and nothing more. When you're done, please keep the glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. Yes, Lord, I stand here and an empty vessel. Lord, I have no word of my own, Lord. I've come to you that you will teach me, oh Lord. Lord, breathe upon your word and teach us from your storehouse, Lord. Teach us, oh God, in the manner that you have never taught us before. Father, we humble ourselves before you this evening and allow you to do your will in our lives, oh God, through your word. Cause us not to be hearers only. Make us doers of your word. What is the essence of hearing your word every day? But we are not practicing it. Father, please come and teach us. As you teach us, give us the grace to do your word. To obey your word, oh God. To live by your word, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I don't know what is happening, but I know that I have no word of my own. I also want God to teach me this evening. We're going to be talking about the title of this Bible studies is suffering. Suffering. What is suffering? Please, can somebody tell us the meaning of suffering? What, when we say suffering, what do we mean? What do we mean by suffering? Please, if you know it, just tell us what suffering means. I'm going to call me. Thank you, Mommy Pastor. Thank you.
According to Google, suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is there any other person that wants to tell us what suffering is? Daddy, tell us.
Discomfort.
Discomfort. Bishop, didn't you know I would call you? Hallelujah. That is giving you Mike.
Praise the Lord. When we use that word to somebody to suffer, suffering, and you know, it could mean so many things depending on the context in which you look at it, but if you look at it in the context of as a Christian, you know, when we talk about suffering, like, you know, Jesus was Paul was saying that we should not suffer as an evildoer, but if for the sake of righteousness we endure, we face hardship, you know, that is a good thing. So just like that Ilona said, and the definition my pastor put up, it talks about, you know, hardship, difficulty, hard times, you know, something that is different from your normal life, is different from your base, what you know, and it goes against your expectations as well too. Maybe I just put it like that for now.
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But the definitions that we have given, they are correct. What I wrote down here, I said suffering is a state of undergoing or feeling pain or something equally unpleasant. It's a feeling of distress or hardship. It means remaining in pain or misery. An example is a person being tortured daily. If somebody's being tortured, pain is being inflicted on that person on a daily basis. The person is suffering. And there's a question I ask, I say, what is the difference between pain and suffering? What is the difference between pain and suffering? Is there a difference between pain and suffering? It's Bible studies now, we're all learning. Me, I'm learning, I don't know it. Is there a difference between pain and suffering? So let's hear what it is. My sister.
I'm thinking pain has to, it's related to an injury that's inflicted. So it's more physical, while suffering doesn't necessarily have to do with an injury that's inflicted. Suffering can be emotional suffering, can be other things other than just related to physical. That's my perception.
Why are we laughing? We don't agree with her. Do you have a different opinion?
Okay. I just want to add to what she said. I think they are intertwined in a way, in the sense that sometimes suffering can cause pain as well. For instance, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, at a point he made a statement. He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That was a lamentation from the soul. And, you know, because at that point in time, he felt it that God had forsaken him. That God, because God couldn't behold the sin that he was taking on for all of us at that time. That was painful. Suffering is prolonged. When you talk about suffering, pain can be temporary. You know, such as when injury is inflicted. And I want to say that pain can also be emotional. It's not only physical. Pain can be emotional pain as well, where something you are expecting or somebody is going through what they never bargained for. And, you know, it could arise as a result of disappointment. So pain could be both emotional and it could be physical. Suffering is kind of prolonged, you know. It's now more than pain. You know, for pain, once the issue causing the pain is gone, it can be alleviated. Suffering also can be alleviated, but suffering is kind of a deeper level.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, my sister. She said that suffering, pain can cause suffering. Is that what you said? That pain can cause suffering. I take that. My brother, you lifted your hand. Feel free.
Suffering is like there's no hope or there's little hope. But with pain, we can, like fasting and praying now, you go through pain. But after the pain, you no pain, no gain. You go to the gym, that is pain, but you get more reward. But with suffering, it's like there's little hope. I don't know if it makes sense or not.
Praise the Lord. You said suffering is something that eats you up. For the benefits of those that are just coming in, the topic is suffering. And we have defined what suffering is. Now, what we are looking at is, what is the difference between suffering and pain? So, we are trying to look into the difference between pain and suffering. Rashala, say something.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Maybe I don't know the context in which you're asking the question. Because for me, it seems like it's the...
I'm not hearing you.
No, I said maybe I don't know the context in which you're asking the question. Because it seems like pretty similar words to me. It's just like joy and happiness, for example. Yeah, so they are pretty similar. But when we put them in the context, in a particular context...
Okay, let me help you. My sister here said that pain can be as a result of suffering. So that's what she said, and she explained. So you, what do you think? Do you think that pain can be as a result of suffering?
Yes. So, because I'm just thinking about from the usage. So I'm in pain. I am suffering. I can put it. Well, I don't
okay,
know.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit will teach us in Jesus' name. Bishop has something to say.
At it deeply in the light of what my sister said. If you look at it, you know, in a medical, you know, parlance, that somebody's in pain and they have come to accept it as a vital sign now, but it's very subjective, as it were. It's what somebody tells you, that is what you would take as the score of the pain. So I see it as pain is something that is in the now as a manifestation of something going on. And like somebody who has, you know, cancer now, the person will be in pain. And that pain is protracted, long, unending. So in that process, you can describe that pain is resulting into suffering. Because that stayed over a long period of time, just like, you know, exactly what my sister said. So in a sense, you know, pain is what you are feeling, as it were, in the now. And if that pain remains as it is, it can lead to a period or a season where you now begin to suffer, you know, as a result of that pain that is, you know, kind of present. So I don't know if I added more light to it.
Yeah, you're correct. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Okay, Daddy has something to say.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to look it the other way around. We are talking about suffering. Let's use our Lord Jesus Christ. You know when it was in that garden, Testimony, what really happened? He said, if you can take this cup away from me, at that point, that pain, you know, and when you carry emotional pain for some time, it become, you know, you are suffering under that weight. That's the word, another way that I think we can look at it.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? What happened to the front seats? The angels will come and nobody to bless. Please, can you move forward? No seats will be empty in front of you. Start from the second row and be. Mommy, pastor, sit on the first row. First. You're a pastor, sit in front. Please, I'm begging you. Don't allow that seat to be. The blessing that is meant for that seat will come and will not locate the owner of that seat. It is a problem. Please move forward. Move forward. Don't stay behind. Praise the Lord. I said, pain is a physical sensation or a signal within your body that tells you something is happening within your body in relation to an event or situation. Something can cause that pain. Maybe you cut your hand. Maybe you fell down. You know, you feel pain. That thing is communicating that something to you, that something has happened to your body. Sometimes we're having tummy ache. You don't know what is really causing it, but all of a sudden you begin to feel pain. You're like, what's going on inside my stomach? Why am I feeling this kind of pain? And then you begin to seek for a solution. That's what I interpreted what pain is. Then suffering, on the other hand, I said suffering is an interpretation or a story that you tell yourself about the pain. Just like my sister said, that pain could lead to suffering. You're feeling this pain is continuous. This thing, I'm suffering. You're suffering in silence. That tummy is paining you. But because you are at work or because you are somewhere in a place where you cannot actually express it, you are just suffering. You are just like moaning. But the thing is still there. That's just a simple way of putting the difference. Now, let's look at our Bible passage. Our Bible passage for this topic, suffering, is Job chapter 1 from verse 8 to 19. Mommy, pastor, please quickly read it for us. Job chapter 1, verse 8 to 19.
Bye.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, my pastor. Going forward, I like to say, before we go into the Bible passage, I like to say here that there are two types of suffering among Christians. Suffering for doing what is right, which is called suffering for Christ's sake, and suffering with Christ, or suffering for righteousness' sake. This kind of suffering brings good results. Like in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, 1 Peter 5, 10. No matter the suffering we are going through, we should see God behind the scene, working out his eternal purpose. He said, but the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let's not look at the suffering. We'll look at the result. After the suffering, what happens? We can also see, read Romans chapter 5 from verse 3 to 4. It talks about being justified by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to his grace. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Another blessing that follows justification is that we also glory in tribulation. Not so much on the present discomfort, as I said, but the eventual result. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and the patient experience, and experience hope. Verse 4. Supposed to be 3 and 4. Okay, that's 3 and 4. Okay, thank you. And you know, we are not, when we are suffering as Christians, we are not supposed to look at what we are passing through at that very moment. We are supposed to look at this, through this suffering, what is it that is going to come out of it? What is Christ actually trying to teach me? You know, he was in the world. Jesus was here. So he knows what we pass through, because he passed through the things that we are passing through. So at any point in time when we are suffering, he understands. He understands what we are going through. And for him to have allowed it is for a purpose. And of course, the purposes of God cannot be evil. The thought that he thinks towards us are thought of good, not evil, to give us our expected end. And what is our expected end? His glory, his success, joy, fulfillment, settlement. So we don't look at the present circumstance. We don't look at the present discomfort when we are suffering as Christians. Knowing that at the end of it, as we suffer, God is even looking at us. And when he sees us looking up to him, even in that suffering, at the end of it, he will approve of us. We have been tested. We have been approved. And then the glory comes. The blessing is handed over to us. As I'm talking to myself too. Because I'm wondering why Christians should be suffering. Why should a Christian suffer? We are in Christ. We have everything that it takes for us to have a good life. So why are we suffering? Why is there so much suffering in the life of a Christian? If you look back, before you knew Christ, everything was just going. You didn't have any problems, you know. But the moment you gave your life to Christ, it was like it's a problem. To give your life to Christ, everything began to happen. So today, I just want God to teach us why these things are the way they are. You know, Jesus, like Daddy was trying to say, that Jesus himself suffered. You look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. He was even telling, when he was talking to his disciples, was trying to explain to them what he was about to go through. He talked about his suffering. And that suffering, what it brought us blessings. It's because of that suffering that he passed through that we are alive today. Matthew 16:21, he said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. If Christ suffered, and the result was blessing. So that means we too, when we suffer, it's not for us to suffer and die. That suffering is going to give birth to something good. That suffering is going to give birth to your glory. That suffering is going to give birth to your turnaround. And it shall be so for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And if we look at the book of Mark 8:31, it's the same thing. And Isaiah 53:3-5. Bro, Femi, let's read Isaiah 53. 3 to 5. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Anyway, the long and short story of it is that the suffering that Jesus passed through, people rejected him. But even his own right-hand man, so to speak, disowned him. Looking at the suffering, looking at what he was passing through, looking at what was happening to Jesus on the cross, nobody wanted to identify with him anymore. Because of the suffering, it was too much. I'm sure some of you were like, I couldn't even save himself. But they didn't know why he was doing that until it was revealed. Until he came out on the third day and appeared to them to fulfill what he had been telling them. So I know that whatever we are passing through now is just for now, for a season. It shall come to pass. The way it came, that's the way it will go. And whatever is the purpose for that suffering, the devil will not cheat us and make us to lose it in the name of Jesus. And so when we are suffering, may the Lord give us the grace not to complain or give up hope on Christ as if, oh, he's no longer there, he's not answering prayers. May the Lord give us the strength to stand and withstand and to bear it. And even while we are bearing it, may the Lord give us the grace to still look up to him. It's not a time to run helter-skelter. It's not a time to say things that will grieve the heart of God. It's a time to just look up to him and say, Father, I know that in this thing I'm passing through, I'm going to come out testifying. It shall be so for us in Jesus' name. The suffering of Jesus Christ brought us eternal life. Another person that suffered is the Apostle Paul. In our example, Apostle Paul is another example for somebody who suffered for Christ's sake. Looking at the book of Acts chapter 9, if you read from verse 1 to 17, we cannot begin to read all of that. We know the story. It's the encounter with Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. You know what he was doing? He was brutalizing, and he was just after the children of God, just like our brothers are doing right now. Where was he? Why was he going to Damascus? He wasn't going there to serve God. He was going so that he would go and arrest Christians and throw them into prison and bring them back to Jerusalem for them to be tortured, for them to be put in prison, for them to be flogged and even killed. But Jesus appeared to him on the way to Damascus and revealed himself to him and asked him questions and made him to know that he is God that created him. And so, if we look at verse 15 and 16 of that Acts chapter 9, 15 and 16. The Bible said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He was talking to the apostle Ananias that he sent to go and, but you know, in the encounter that he had with Jesus, at the end of it, he came up blind. He got up, opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. And God gave him so many instructions, which he obeyed. Now he was now humbled. He saw something that was greater than him. And so God had gone to reveal to Ananias to go and pray for him so that he may receive his sight. And that was like, where are you sending me? Everybody have said what this man is doing. As he came to Damascus, he came with a warrant to arrest Christians and to cause havoc in the midst of the children of God. And you're asking me to go with him? The Lord said, don't worry. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So what are we trying to bring out here? Another type of suffering is suffering for Jesus, for the sake of his name, for the sake of God's name. Christians are suffering now. Our evangelists, our missionaries, they are out there. It's not palatable. They are suffering, being tortured, beaten, no light, no, some of them no food. Some of them have no good accommodation. They are in the remote areas. They are suffering for Christ's sake. They are there suffering just to bring the gospel to the people of that area. So that is suffering for Christ. And it's not possible that they will suffer like that and go empty-handed. No, it's not possible. Every blessing that comes with that suffering, God is going to release unto them. If only they will hold on to their faith. Our prayer should be, Father, help me to hold on to you, even in the midst of my suffering. So that at the end of it, whatever was the intention of that suffering will be released unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Another question is this. Who causes suffering? Is it God or the devil? Who causes suffering? Is it God that causes suffering or the devil? Who? Please, I want us to, we know it, let's answer. One person, please help us. One sentence. It's a Bible study, so. One sentence. Who causes suffering? Is it God that causes suffering or the devil?
Our context, you know, from Job, if we look at it precisely, I think James also, too, you know, supports that. James says, if any man be tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God. Say, but a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust, and he's tempted. And many a times, you know, suffering, God just permits it. The same way he permitted it in Job's case, he can allow it to happen to us, to prune us. You know, on Sunday we were talking about when we, you know, kind of bring fruit that is meat for the masters, God will prune it. And God may allow that process in order to prune us and to help us as a child of God to develop virtues that will make us, you know, strong. And you see, God does not cause suffering. No. Evil does not come from God. There's no evil with him. Nothing whatsoever. And though at times we may want to attribute it to God, but no. The world we live in, of its own, in this world, as the Bible said, we will suffer tribulation. It's part of the experience of being on this side of eternity.
As thank it were. You, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He has said it all. I said here that the devil causes much of man's suffering. The devil causes that. I said what I read. I said the devil causes much of man's suffering by oppressing man. You look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38. Another person open to Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 15:22. The devil oppressed. It's not God that oppressed. God came to undo what the devil did. He said, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. The devil causes sorrow. He causes pain. But just as my brother said, it is God who allows the devil to bring suffering. Look at the portion that we read, Job chapter 1. And if you look at verse 12, look at where the trouble started, where the devil got the power. In verse 12, said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself, that's upon him, himself, Job, upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and from then calamity started to befall Job. Because God gave him the permission to do that. So God allowed him to cause that suffering for Job. I will come to, let me finish. I'm still talking now. Even if I'm not correct, just wait. God gave Job the permission to afflict, gave Satan the permission to afflict Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? a good man, that is perfect, eschewed evil. He does not sin. Is the righteous man upright? He said, "Hey, he doesn't serve you for nothing. Is it not because you put an hedge around him?" He said, "Okay, is that what you think? Okay, I give you permission. Go and do everything that he has is belongs to you. Go and do what you want to do, but don't touch his life." That was permission for him to cause Job to suffer. So, what does it want to say before I continue? Why what? Why did he permit him? Because he wanted to try. What do we read before? That when we pass through temptation, still looking up to God, what happens? He approves of us. He said, "This one, you are tested and you have been approved." You know the story, that at the end of it, even though Job suffered so much, he did not give up. He did not curse God. No, the pressure did not make him to curse God. He did not fall. He did not look up, look away from God. He still held on to his God. And at the end of it, everything that the devils took from him, God gave him, multiplied. Gave him 100-fold. So the why is not even the matter. What matters here, the important thing is that the bottom line is that suffering is for a season and it's for a purpose. And the purpose is good. It's good purpose, not bad purpose. And if we endure, at the end of it, we will testify. Praise the Lord. Even afflicting Job's body, he's the one that still gave him permission to do that. In Job, if you read from verse 8 to 19, that we have read already, God allowed Satan to ruin him with his property. And in Job chapter 2, from verse 3 to 7, God also allowed the devil to afflict Job with boils. So he gave him permission. If he didn't give him permission, he wouldn't be able to touch Job. It's the same thing. Something will lead to something, and the devil will be able to reach us. The hedge, the Bible says that if you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. So may the Lord help us. And, that doesn't mean that you cannot be tempted or suffer when you are doing righteous, you're living a righteous life. When God wants to test you and prove you and promote you. No promotion comes without examination. So most of the time with suffering, it's just an examination. When we pass it, we are promoted. We move to the next level. I said, God is ultimately responsible for allowing, not for causing suffering, but for allowing suffering. Exodus 4:11. So let's look at Exodus. I paraphrase. I said, "Who made man's mouth?" He said, Exodus 4:11. Said, "And the Lord said unto him, Who had made man's mouth? Or who had made the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord?" The Lord allows suffering. The people that are born deaf and dumb, did they commit any crime? No. They were born and they are deaf, they are dumb. Some of them are blind. His God has still created them. Satan was not in the stomach to make them to be blind or deaf or dumb. So it is God that allows suffering for his children. 1 Samuel 2:6-7 says, "He kills, he makes it alive, he makes poor and rich." Isaiah 45:7 says, "He forms the light, creates darkness, he makes peace and creates evil," and says, "I, the Lord, do all these things." So it's still God. Also, if you see Amos, we can write it down if you want to read it, if you're interested. So you can also see in Amos 3:6b, still emphasizing that God is the one that permits suffering. And Deuteronomy 32:29, 2 Chronicles 15:2-6, Job 12:14-25. Another question here is, can we now say that God allows suffering for his children? Having known that it's possible for his children to suffer, but it's for a good cause, can we now agree, or can we now say that God allows suffering for his children?
said God is omnipresent, but where was God when the devil was trying to get across to Eve? As you were talking, that God permitted. So that, as you were talking, I just, you know, that just dropped my leg. That God wasn't as if God was not there when the devil was trying to tell Eve to eat the apple, because our God is omnipresent. He sees all things. So I'm sure he was just there waiting to see if Eve was going to be, was going to enter the trap. But because actually that's where the pain started from. That is where the pain of man and everything started from. So like you said, just to portray the point, just to portray that, yeah, God permits it, but the devil that actually inflicts exactly. The pain. Now, when we go down, yes, God allows it in order for us to be able to become who he has created us to be from the foundation of them. The Bible says that when God created man, he said he wanted man to dominate, to subdue the earth. So in order for us to subdue, we need to go through. We need to pass through. So all those things, all the trials and trials and tribulations of our faith comes our way so that we can stand the test of time and be able to attain that position that God wants us to attain. Jesus Christ went through it, and we also will go through it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mommy Pastor, for that addition. You know, when the Satan came to tempt Eve, God was, he was not absent, he was present, he was seeing it. Was that not a test for them? God had put them in the Garden of Eden. They lacked nothing. Everything was there for them. Given everything that they would ever want. And God just wanted, it was just a test, but they didn't pass. Because of, you know, in fact, it's like she knew what I wrote here. I said that, why does God allow righteous to suffer? Why is because he has a loving reason for everything that he does. He has a loving reason for everything that he does. Everything that he allows to come your way that is suffering, he has a loving reason for it. It's not for him to kill or destroy you. It's for him to work out something better than what you are, where, what you are experiencing at that present time. By the time you come out of it, you're going to be like a silver that has passed through the furnace of fire. Praise the Lord. In the midst of that trial, something good is coming out. That's why I say all things work together for good. According to Genesis 45, 4 to 8, if we had time to read that, and we don't have time, Joseph suffered, but the suffering was for good, you know. But then in Genesis 50, 20, he told his brother, he said, you thought evil against me, but God meant unto good. Look at all the things that Joseph passed through. Yeah, his own blood. They were not strangers to him. But yet, they had the mind to do all that they did. And they thought they were, you know, punishing Joseph. They were jealous. So they wanted him out of their sight. Because they, you know, from the dreams he was having, it's possible they had an understanding that this man was coming to rule us. And they didn't want that to happen. So they put him through what they put him through. Not only wanting to kill him, thank God for the person that intervened. They put him inside the pit to punish him. It wasn't enough. They brought him out and sold him out. They never thought they were going to see him again. But God allowed all of that because he was going to work out his eternal purpose from it. And the purpose for it, it was just, God was even preserving, you know, something for them in the future. Because if Joseph was not where he was, they would have died of famine. Praise the Lord. God wants us to suffer so that we can learn from that experience. Learn from that experience. According to Psalm 119:71. God sometimes chastises his children through suffering. Chastises us through suffering. Proverbs 3. I want us to read that. Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. Praise the Lord. God allows us to suffer because he knows that our suffering is less than we deserve. Ezra chapter 9 verse 13. The Lord, whatever suffering we pass through is not enough for the things that we have done. It's not enough for our disobedience. It's not enough for our laziness to pray, to study. It's not enough for our stubbornness. It's not enough for our unbelief. It's not enough for our grieving the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. It's not enough for us be looking at God's blessing and yet we are still going astray. It's not enough. Whatever suffering we pass through, it's not enough. He had not dealt with us after our sin. He has not dealt with us according to our iniquity. Other reasons for suffering is, I said, suffering has been a fact of life. Mommy Pastor mentioned it. Suffering has been a fact of life since the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, 16 to 19, that's what Mommy Pastor was talking about. We bring on ourselves suffering by sin and disobedience, according to Genesis 42:21. When we sin, we bring suffering upon ourselves. Because when we sin, the Holy Spirit separates from us. It's like the Holy Spirit is too holy to behold iniquity. So when we are living in sin, we don't have his presence. And we suffer when the presence of the Holy Spirit is there because we are without direction. We just do our own thing, and in the process, we're making a lot of mistakes and we run into trouble because of sin. When we fail to believe and obey God's word, we suffer. According to Psalm 89:30-32. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up. If the children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Praise the Lord. Benefits of suffering is the last one. Suffering causes us to seek God's word. According to Psalm 90, please write it down. We'll not be able to take it. We can go back and read it. Causes us to seek God's word. Psalm 94:12. Psalm 119:71. And then suffering also refines and purifies us. Suffering refines and purifies us. Psalm 66:10. Isaiah 48:10. Suffering teaches obedience. Hebrews 5:8. Suffering causes you to bring forth more fruits. John 15:2. It taketh away every branch that bears no fruit, and prunes the vine that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. Suffering humbles you. Example, he humbled the children of Israel by taking them through wilderness. If they went through that wilderness so that they learned a lot of things, they saw the power of God, they saw God in action. Did that stop them from committing sin, from not believing in God? No, it did not. Suffering teaches us patience. Consider Romans chapter 5, verse 3b. Tribulation produces perseverance. It makes you wiser. Suffering makes you wiser. It gives you compassion and mercy on others, when you have passed through something and you were able to come out, when you see another person in that same thing, you're able to say, come, my sister, it's not the end of the world. Look at my own story. And at the end of it, that person is encouraged. Suffering draws you close to and makes you appreciate loved ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 to 7. I want us to read it. That's the last one. 2 Corinthians 7, 4 to 7. Suffering draws you close and makes you to appreciate loved ones. If you don't suffer, you will not appreciate people. Because the time, we maybe you are living a life of wealth, abundance, you have so much, and you don't even need anybody because you're self-satisfied. You have so much that you don't need anybody around you. But let something hit you. That's when you remember that you came from a family. You begin to look for where you came from. Where is my father? Where is my cousin? I used to have one cousin that is working somewhere. You will now begin to look for them. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That is, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I said 2 Corinthians 7, 4 to 7. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Does anybody have any addition? Any question? Any contribution?
Praise the Lord.
I just want to Apostle Paul, right? And if you look at 2 Corinthians 12, where he talked about, that the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But if you read right away from verse 6, and if you look at verse 7, he's talking about all these things that is happening to him is, to keep him, not to glory in himself, not to be, people talking about, oh, this and that. So he accepted it, and he said in verse 10, he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. That's the lesson that I really pick out of this lesson, digging deep, is that you are doing things for Christ's sake, not even for your sake. You're not looking at yourself, but you are looking at the one who called you, the one who is guiding you. Because he, according to Apostle Paul, if he exalts himself and think that people are talking that big, before you know, you are carried away. And that happens to a lot of men of God nowadays. When they start to look at themselves as the one and not the Lord Jesus Christ who called them, then they start to misbehave. And you see, that's the flesh aspect of it. And he talked about it. Talked about it, that even that's the messenger
of Satan. You know? So we have to be very careful. When we talk, I used to say, you can't afford to be foolish in your affliction. Because once you start, you know, to think of yourself, even in that, this thing is happening to me, I cannot do it, I cannot do that, then you are falling off. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Thank you. So at the beginning, you started by differentiating between two types of suffering. You said one is suffering for doing what is right, and one is suffering with Christ. So the part about suffering with Christ, I think that's the part you dwelled on. So can you clarify the part about suffering for doing what is right?
For example, in the, you know, in your places of work, I don't know about here. I know about where I came from because I have an experience. It's not everybody that is born again. It's not everybody that's born again. It's not even everybody that have integrity. It's not everybody that want to do things right, because people are so. Let me use a very common example. You as a child of God, you are in that office. The other person is not a child of God, is in the same office, and you're doing the same thing. Your ways will be different from his if you're true to yourself. If you don't want to, you know, dance to your tune. Back in Nigeria, every situation, people want to make money out of it. The 45 figure, so that at the end of the day, if their salary is 20,000, because they have, you know, changed figures, they end up going home with 30. You are not going home with 30. You're going home with 20. Again, when promotion comes, the general manager is looking for the highest bidder, because they begin to troop in, give, there's competition. They are giving what you are not giving. You are staying, believing in God. Except the Lord God Almighty goes ahead to stop them. You find out that people that are not even qualified for that position, new position that is out, are the people that you are going to take. Even though you are the most qualified, they are not giving you because you are not doing what others are doing. You are not making the extra that they are making. You are not dancing to their tune because of Christ. You know, they talked in a school of leadership, they taught us something about taking Christ to your place of work, taking Christ to the marketplace. If you are to take Christ to the marketplace, you have to show a good example by not doing what they are doing. So, if this year you're qualified for promotion, you are not promoted because it's happening. Next year, you're qualified. They are not promoting you because you are not bringing returns to your boss, so to speak. You're suffering. And many more examples.
Thank you.
A lot of people that have preached Christ as in the hospital, that have lost their job. It is illegal for you to speak to, but you know, God gives us wisdom. Wisdom that you know how to present the case. You're not going to say that you receive Christ, because they can actually, you know, they can actually report you and you can be fired for that. And I know people that have been fired just because they preach the word of God. That's one example. One thing I just want to add, Mommy, I know you have spoken about those two things. But again, it's very important for us to also understand that some suffering that are self-afflicted. Mm-hmm. Okay? Which is very key, because let us not be deceived that, we come to church. Actually, the pains that we might be going through might be as a result of our mourning and grumbling, our disobedience as the children of Israel. So we need to be careful to actually evaluate yourself. If you're going through, why are you going through? Is it as a result of your disobedience? Is it as a result of your murmuring and grumbling and not being thankful to God? Because all those things can actually open door for the enemy to come in and strike, and that is not.
I think I did mention that your suffering can come to you as a result of sin and disobedience. I mentioned that.
Thank you very much. So in my own opinion, the two kind of suffering that you classify, they are really one, because you are still suffering for righteousness sake, and that has a reward as well. So it's the same thing. It's not suffering for doing what is right. If we're talking about suffering for doing what is right, then maybe we are talking about an unbeliever who just has high moral standard. Who has high moral standard to say, okay, this is how I'm going to do. I want to be an honest person. I want to live on. But they don't know Christ. So they could suffer for doing what is right. But for us, whatever we do, because we know the truth, is still suffering for Christ's sake.
I don't understand what you mean. Are you saying that
yes,
suffering for righteousness
the example,
is
yes,
wrong?
Is, no. It's the same. It's one and the same. The classification you gave, that there's suffering for doing what is right and suffering for God, suffering with Christ, is the same thing from what you've explained. It's the same thing. And that is exactly how we are supposed to live our lives anyway, as children of God. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing you have explained.
Okay, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Rachela, do you want to talk first?
Can't you? Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't mind Rachela.
The one thing that keeps coming to my mind for me as I keep hearing about suffering is long suffering. Is in the Bible, and long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And the one of the verses I think I just stumbled upon is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, like 4 to 6. It says, "But we commend ourselves in every way as true servants of God, through great endurance in tribulation and suffering, in hardship and privation, in sore strait and calamity, in beating, imprisonment, riot, labor, sleepless watching, hunger, by innocence and purity, knowledge and spiritual insight, long suffering and patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love." When I studied the book of Job, I think the one thing that struck me with him in the story in the book of Job is how long his suffering was. He suffered for a long time. Even up to the point where his friends, people came around, they made fun of him, they made jest of him, they poked at his God, they said, you know, why isn't God pulling you out of this? Why is this something that continued for him? And I almost envied how he held on, because I thought of myself as a person. Like, even sometimes when things come, my faith wavers as a person, and I always revert back to the book of Job and say, if he can hang on tight, if he can endure, if he can persevere, I can do it. And you even look at the end of the book of Job, when you see how God rewarded him in multifolds, in return all the things he'd lost. It makes suffering as a Christian something that we should endure it, and we should know that our reward is greater. A greater reward is coming for us in the end of it all. So to me, I find Job's example as a great example of suffering, or long suffering in general, in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for your contribution, my sister. The bottom line is what comes after the suffering, and you not giving up. Yes, sir.
Praise God. So I just wanted to ask that. So for example, let's look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was someone that suffered, that nothing came after the suffering, at least on earth. No, I like to put things in perspective, because we will be, something is going to come, something is going to come. What if nothing comes? You are suffering and you no, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that suffering is our portion or something like that. We are.
Shall I look at the time?
What I am saying is that we can go through suffering as Christians and nothing will come out. For example, nothing that the expectation is that something will come that people will see, like Job's own came. For example, Job's children were sacrificial, they died, right? God blessed him with some other children in the future, but those children have already died. Now, if I was friends to Job's children at the time, I would be questioning, why did those children just die? I don't know if you get my thinking. That there's a part of it that because God has a divine plan. It is a big plan that is beyond one person. It's beyond all of us seated there. It's beyond the whole world. God has something he wants to achieve. He was trying to, so at some point in this life, some of us will be seated here and be studying the book of Job. Because he wants to pass a message across to us. He allowed all those things to happen at that time. And some people will be, there's a word they used to use in military terms, that when people die, they'll say they are, no, I can't remember the word. But when people die, they say they are, no, they will say they are sacrificial something. When people are sacrificed for a particular cause, yeah, they will say those ones are like collateral damage. Yes, that's the word. They will say it's collateral damage. And people that are Christians sometimes suffer, and their suffering ends up them being earthly collateral damage. Because God has a divine plan. God has a bigger plan. God has something bigger that he wants to establish. So we are working with that strength and with that hope that God is going to bring something out of the suffering. But that thing that we are going to get, we shouldn't set those treasures on the earth that, oh, we are going to get this reward. Because at the end of the day, the reward is in heaven. That's the point I am trying to make, actually.
Praise the Lord.
That is it. Praise the Lord.
Well, I want to praise the Lord. Let's take, for example, the man of God that died, left his wife in debt. Will we say he didn't serve God? He did serve God. And I'm sure the man wasn't serving God because he was expecting anything to come. But when he died, the Lord rose for that family. So at the end of the day, he might not have been present, but when it was time and the Lord sees that, you know, this man served me. Because the woman of God cried, told the servant of God, he served God. So you are right, sir. One thing that we must all take is that whatever we are going through, only one person knows the outcome of it. And that is God. Just like my wife said, again, check yourself. Why are you going through pain? Why is this happening to you? And I always tell people, level past level. There are things you will do as a sin that God will look at you and be merciful. There are things I will do that God will punish me. My wife gave an example here on Sunday that when something happens and she's unable to pay tithe, she will always see the side of it. I have seen situations where it's not that they didn't want to, they forgot. They almost got into an accident until they were reminded. You have passed a level that you want to forget that. So, whatever we are going through, what we need to just believe is that God, who knows the beginning, knows the end. And whatever we are doing, he knows how to answer all at the end of the day. Because like you said, if you begin to plan of what the reward is, trust me, you are wasting your time. So my prayer is that whatever we are going through in life, let's just believe that at the end of the day, the will of God will be done in our life. It's part of life. Whether we like it or not, we are going to go through it. We just need to ask God for the grace. And what is the grace? Like my sister said, ask God to endure to the end. That is it. Enduring to the end. Are we going to say John the Baptist didn't do what was right? How can they now demand for his head? And that's why you see at the end of the day, you ask somebody will tell you, when we get to heaven, we have questions to ask God. Baba God, how can a man preach about you? And one little girl, through the authority of his mother, demanded for a man of God's head, and they were able to carry it out. That's why the God is called unquestionable God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. I want us to know that
this topic, suffering, we cannot exhaust it here. We are only taking one aspect, and what I was dwelling on is the fact that when you still hold on to God and still endure even in the face of your suffering, looking up to God, at the end of it will bring good results. It's just a little aspect of it. There's no way I can stand here and cover the whole of the topic on suffering. That is why it is Bible study. So the contribution here and there has given us a broader understanding of it, even though it is not complete. Another person can stand here now and start talking about it. We'll be talking about different thing entirely. So we can never exhaust it. The Lord will help us to be doers of what we are saying and what we are hearing, and not only hearers, in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Would also minister to her.